Amen. Thank you. Good morning. I don't know if you remember last time, some of you might do, when I preached and I didn't have any drink and I was nearly choking and there was like the communion there and I was like, oh, shall I go and have some? It was before the pandemic. But this morning I've got some drink with you. PlayStation bottle, best I could do. Is that all right, Adam? So I've got some water just in case I struggle. Hopefully I won't. But yeah. I've got water. Now I feel like I'm talking too much. Well, anyway, today we're going to continue in our series of seven statements that Jesus made about himself, I am statements that are recorded in the scriptures. And these statements that Jesus has made, they reveal his character and his nature. And this is like a theme through the whole Bible where God reveals himself to us through his name. Like in Genesis, he reveals himself as Elohim, Creator God, at the very start. And then there's loads of them throughout the Bible. Jehovah Shalom, which means peace. El Roy, the God who sees. El Shaddai, God Almighty. There's plenty of those. And even before Christmas, I made these little ornaments for our Christmas tree and for some other people that have like names of God, like Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, names of Jesus. But these particular ones are the ones that Jesus said, and he used that phrase, I am. And I don't know how many of you are following our Bible in a year, but this morning there was a passage. We started the book of Exodus this morning, and there was that account where Moses has that conversation with God, and he says to him, what should I say to them when who sent me? And he says, tell them I am sent me, which means Lord, Jehovah. And that's the wording that Jesus used when he said, I am. You know, all those I am statements. Damien already mentioned this, but in case you missed it. And this morning, we're going to look at the phrase that Jesus used when he said, I am the bread of life. So if you close your eyes, or you don't have to, for a minute, and think of the smell of fresh-made bread, what kind of feeling enters your heart? So, like a comfort feeling probably for many people, a feeling of home, satisfaction. When I said that this morning to Richard, he said, 10 sins. So those people on diet are probably a little bit freaked out about about that word. But that's not what I was trying to say. I was like, no, it needs to bring you like a comforting feeling. And I make homemade bread sometimes, and I love the smell, I love the taste with fresh butter, you know. But I'll come back to that later. But when Jesus said this statement, I am the bread of life, this passage is recorded in the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter. And it starts in verse 22, goes all the way up to verse 59, but I'll be more focusing on that passage from 22 to 33, 35. And just to like set the scene, this account happened about 2 years into Jesus' ministry. And by that time, he has attracted many crowds, and there were loads of people following him. And at this particular occasion, there would have been thousands of people, because Jesus actually, just before this happened, he fed the 5,000, 5,000 men, plus children, plus women. So imagine there was a big crowd, and there was this buzz going on about who is this Jesus. And there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that I come into, and when he actually multiplied the loaves, that came to their mind, and they must have been curious, is this the Messiah? And but by the end of this conversation that Jesus had with these crowds and these people, a lot of them left him. They stopped following him because he had some hard truths to say, and they did not like it. So he went from about thousands of people to just a handful, I guess. Not many stayed because they didn't like what he had to say. And so Jesus was with these crowds, and then he decided he had to go. So he kind of fled, and he went on a boat, and he went away from him. And at this time, they were looking for him and didn't know where he was. And then this is where this passage starts that's going to come on the slide in a second. We're going to read it together. Okay, so we're going from verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in one who has sent me. So they asked him, what signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation that you give us in your word about who you are, Lord. And I pray that this morning, as we explore this idea of the bread of life, Lord, that you will impart to us something new, that we can learn something new about you and find comfort in that and find new revelation in that, I pray, in Jesus' name. So that was the passage. And if you are not familiar with the Old Testament, this might sound to you like a couple of your friends are talking about an event that you haven't been to or about a film that you haven't watched. So just to give you a little bit of background of what they're saying, they are referring to an account that is in the book of Exodus that we're going to be reading this month on our plan, some of us. And in chapter 16, this is recorded in chapter 16. So the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for a number of years. And at this time, they were miraculously delivered. They crossed the Red Sea, and they find themselves in the middle of wilderness. And they get hungry, so they start to complain to God. They said, oh, God, in Egypt, we had pots of meat. Although they'd forgotten they were slaves for years, they're just craving the food. And then Jesus said to him, okay, you're hungry. Not Jesus, God knew they were hungry. So he decided to provide bread from heaven, which is called manna, yeah, bread from heaven, manna. And he sent it every single morning for about 40 years, and it would like rain from heaven, and there was only enough for that day. And then on the sixth day, they would get enough for 2 days so that they wouldn't have to collect it on Sabbath. And some of them, they tried to store it, and they would put it in their tents, but it would spoil by the end of the day, so they couldn't. They had to rely on that provision for every day, daily. They couldn't store it away. And so these people, these crowds in Israel, they were familiar with that. So when they saw, when they knew that when the Messiah comes, that there was this prophecy that he would bring bread from heaven, so they knew that this could be the Messiah. And they seen Jesus multiply the loaves, so they thought, this must be the Messiah. And then we're going to look at what is our real need. So these people, they came because they were hungry. They wanted their bellies to be filled. But Jesus, what he's trying to say to them, your perceived need is not your actual need. You are coming thinking there is more manna on the way, but Jesus says, this is not your actual need. So they think their need is to be filled, and they want more manna. They think that would be quite cool if Jesus gave them manna. And I just wanted to give you a little bit more background of that true meaning of that word bread of life. And we're just going to quickly look at scripture that is in... I lost myself a little bit. Oh yeah, so just going to read that verse 32, when Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." So Jesus is referring himself as the true bread, so not the bread that they are thinking about, you know. And in Greek, there are two words for the word bread, not bread, for the word life. Just like some other words that we can think about, like love, in English you have one word for love, like I love pizza and I love you, and it's very different, isn't it? But and it's the same with the word life. So you can think about, oh, how's life? That's quite casual. Or you say, is he alive? And that's very different, isn't it? So in Greek, there are two words for the word life. There is word bios. Word bios, which means physical life or like the material life. So where there was the, if you remember the account of the woman with the issue of blood, she was ill, and she, it says in the scriptures that she spent all her life searching for medicine. So the word all her life would be the word bios they use there, so her physical life. And then there's another word in scriptures that's called the zoe, and that word, that's how you're supposed to pronounce it, I think, that refers to the eternal divine life of God. So even though actual bread is linked to bios, Jesus links it to Zoe when he says that he is bread of life. So that whole statement, I am the bread of life, he's using very different vocabulary than what they expected. So he says, I am Jehovah, the bread of divine life. And that was really offensive to them. And they were thinking, what is this guy talking about? And it's really interesting that he actually chose this vocabulary. And I think the message that he's trying to say is, don't look for food that perishes, but look for food of Zoe, of eternal life. You have a hunger that transcends your natural hunger, and you have a thirst that transcends your natural thirst, and you are trying to fill it with a bio solution, with like a natural solution. This is what he's trying to tell them. And I think all of us can fall into that trap of trying to fulfill our spiritual need with a natural solution, don't we? That's the deception of human heart. And even if you think about like Christmas, for example, not long ago it was Christmas, and people have this hunger for new things, and they are encouraged even to get new things, and they even say things like, you deserve it. I really don't like that phrase, you deserve it. I think all I deserve is eternal punishment, but yeah, I don't know, or treat yourself. You know, like the culture is like full of those kind of phrases. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just encouraging to feed that hunger for the natural. And if you are a mom and it's like 15th of December and your child comes rocks up and say, "Mom, I need a new deodorant," I always say, it's going to have to be part of your Christmas. I don't know about you, but I always say that, or anything like that. And it might be a need, but I think like you can wait a few days till Christmas. And I love getting socks for Christmas. And for a few years, I didn't get socks. And I would always wear Richard's socks. And so when I get socks, it's like a double whammy. It's a present for both of us. So he gets his socks back, and I get my own socks. So, yeah, so we could discuss whether this is a need or want. I don't know. But my dad, this story that my dad told me, it always stayed with me all my life. And I don't even remember when he told me, but many years ago. But when he was a young man, he had, I think it was his first car or one of his first cars, and he really wanted a radio for the car because this car didn't come with a radio. So he went to, he didn't have enough money at the time, so he just saved up until he had enough. And then when he had enough money, he decided to go and buy this radio. And so he got it and he installed it in his car, tuned it in, whatever, and then he turned it on and he said, and the all excitement of those months of that will build up was gone. So this radio that he wanted so badly, saved up for it, it did not deliver what it promised. It didn't give him that feeling, you know, that, oh, I've got a radio. Yeah, he was happy, but it wasn't what he expected. And how many times does that happen when we want something and we really crave it, and then when it comes, it's like, yeah, I've got it, but you know, it hasn't brought that fulfillment that I really hoped for. And this could be to do with anything, like even when people drink, get drunk, or with shopping, you can be addicted to shopping. I really hate when you on the internet, and the other day I was actually reading an article on the internet, and there was this ad that just kept flashing, like proper flashing, and I could not concentrate on what I was reading. I was so distracted by it, and it was just like a little advert of this shirt that I looked at before. And you know those algorithms, the way they are set up, just to feed you more like of that craving of what you want. And it was just flashing, and I was actually tempted to click on it, and then I thought, this is ridiculous, I hate this, I want to read, but I can't concentrate. And I resisted, but I bet if I did buy it, it would not bring me that fulfillment that I hope. And that's why Jesus says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. So it will not give you, he will not give you that feeling. He will not let you down like those things do. And in Mark, another Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 22, I think it's on the next slide, thanks. Jesus is having a supper. It's referred to as Last Supper with his disciples. And it's actually a celebration of Passover that he's having with his disciples. And they're having the meal, and this is what he says to them. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." So I'm going to back to Exodus again, visiting that book a few times today. And when the Israelites were about to leave Egypt, they had to leave in haste. So they had to rush out because it was like almost like an escape, and they had to leave quickly. So God gave them an instruction, and he said, make unleavened bread, because that's bread without yeast, because they didn't have enough time to wait for the bread to rise and become a full fluffy loaf. So he just said, make unleavened bread. And there were loads of other instructions he gave them and things that happened that night and that referred to Jesus. So if you're interested to explore that, it's very rich. And there are books on that, and yeah, they're really good. But I'm not going to have time to talk about all of them. But all I wanted to say was that this bread with no leaven, Jesus says, this is my body. So he's saying he's the unleavened bread, the bread without yeast, the bread without sin. All of us have sin in us, but he has no sin in him. He's the unleavened bread, not just any old bread. And I think the bread of this world, the commercial bread, is just so, I don't know, I don't like it. That's why I make my homemade bread. But like if you go to Morrison's and you buy a loaf of bread and you look at the packaging, and there's the ingredients of bread, there's not going to be just salt, water, and flour. There's going to be loads. And there's so this bread is like high in sugar. It spikes your blood sugar as soon as you have it. It doesn't fill you. Let's face it, it's not really filling. 2 hours later, you are hungry again. And then also it can make you addicted because of this sugar and all these additives that it has. But Jesus is not like that, and he's the manna bread. And just like this manna came daily, we need to make time for our Jesus daily. We can't live on yesterday's food. We have to go to him daily to get our fill every day from him. So we're going to now look at seek God for who he is. So these people, they came to Jesus for what he had to give them. But we need to come to him because we want him, not because we want our bellies full, not because we want whatever. And I have somebody who is very close to me, and they had this grandma, and they used to come and visit her. She moved into one of these places where old people live, like a residential place. And they would go and visit them like every so often. And then they had some cousins as well who would come and visit them. And this granny was like very nice, generous lady. And every time these boys would come, she would give them some change that she had. And then on one day, she happened to not have any change. And guess what? These cousins, these boys, they never came back. And they were only visiting grandma because of what she had to give them. So there's no relationship with that, is there? When you only come for the benefits, or when you pray to God, give me this and give me that and give me the other. And it's not that he won't, because he even says in scriptures, even a bad person, bad father would give good gifts to his kids. So he wants to give us good gifts, but what he's saying is God is looking for people who don't want him, who don't want his blessings without wanting him. And back in Exodus, again, in the wilderness, we're back there, people, the Israelites, have decided to make themselves a little idol. They made this golden calf, and they were going to worship this golden calf. So God got angry because he's a jealous God, and he said to Moses, actually, he said to him, I'm still going to give you promised land because I promised it, but I'm not actually going to come with you. And Moses said, I don't want to go there unless you come. Because Moses was that person who actually wanted God more than he wanted his blessing. And he knew that even if he had that blessing, it would not bring him that fulfillment if God wasn't there. And we need to be that kind of people who want God for who he is and who want more of him than from him. And I just want to share with you a little story of this account. I thought this morning I should have put a picture of it, but it was too late. But in 2004, I actually looked up when it was, because I forgot when it was. I just remember that I was young when it happened. So I was 15, so that gives you a clue how old I am. I was the same age, I'm actually the same age that Jesus was when he delivered this message. So you can think about how old I am. I'm sure the ones that are good at maths already know. But anyway, so 2004, I'm living in Slovakia in this part. It's called High Tatras. It's it's like in mountains. And this particular day, there was a forecast that there was going to be this storm that was going to come. And, you know, it happened before. And me and my brother were like, oh, wonder what that's going to be like. And but we just went to sleep. And we could hear a bit of wind, but we were quite deep asleep. But when we woke up in the morning, the whole landscape of our surrounding was completely changed. Like, there were trees fallen everywhere. It was, like, so different. We almost felt, like, disorientated when we came outside, and we could not see, like, where we were. It was so confusing to us because we were used to, like, being in this forest all our life, and now it was all gone. And we, you know, we saw the results of this storm, what it has done to the landscape, but we missed the source of this devastation that happened. And I think sometimes we can be like that. You know, we come to church and we can see the effects of what God is doing, and we could even partake in that blessing, and we can get healed, or we can, I don't know, feel his presence. But then we are missing out because we're missing the source. We are not focused on the source of what's happening. And that's what happened to us that morning. But how much worse is that when that happens to us as believers? So if you're not seeking God for who he is, then you are missing out. That's all I'm going to say. And and when the relationship is absent from our communication, like with that granny and things like that, it all comes down to works. So like in that verse, what was it? 28 and 29 from that passage that we read. These Israelites, these crowds, they were asking, what works can we do? What works can we do, Jesus? And he says, believe. That's all you need to do, believe. And they are asking, so when the relationship is not there, you just think about works. Yeah, what can I do to earn that? Oh, how can I get that, you know? And in Sermon on the Mount, that's like probably Jesus' most famous preaching moment. And Jesus refers to the poor. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these blessed poor are no longer slaves to the tyranny of things. They have broken the yoke of the oppressor, and they have done this not by fighting it, but by surrendering. They realize their own depravity and spiritual emptiness and their need for God. And me and Richard, we don't own a house at the moment, but that's something that I always wanted to, you know, to own a house, to leave some heritage and some legacy for our kids. But when I thought about this and when I was preparing this, I was thinking, actually, spiritual legacy and spiritual heritage is so much more than anything physical that we could leave to our kids. It goes beyond the physical, doesn't it? It goes beyond the bricks and the mortar, just like bread of heaven goes beyond the normal bread, doesn't it? And Habakkuk knew this. There's this beautiful passage in the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3. It's going to come up in a second. And it says the following words. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So this tells us that there can be joy found in God, even when there's no joy in the physical realm. And because it says in the scriptures, where he is, there is fullness of joy. Yeah. And I think, I was also thinking about when you have that lack of that relationship, sometimes it gives you like a feeling of inadequacy. And you are depleted and you look to people to replenish you. You look for compliments, you look for, you fish for things like that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, stop waiting for that thank you that they never gave you years ago. Just stop. And stop waiting for those words of affirmation that give you that feeling of validation. And just think that don't allow forgetfulness of others to cause you to question God's faithfulness. Because it's nothing to do with him. And if you feel overlooked this morning, maybe you just need to look up. So when I asked you about those feelings, you know, you get when you think about bread, like for me, it's like comfort, fullness, satisfaction. And what Jesus is saying, I am bread of life. He is saying ultimately he can satisfy our deepest needs and longings. And he can make us full and overflowing with blessing. And so if you want to know him, there are different ways to do that. And one of them is by reading your Bible. And if you are following a plan, for example, that is a really good way. And I've been reading Bible this time around again. And I just wanted to have a different mindset this time. Because before when I read it, I just always thought about how does this apply to me and how does that apply to me? And not that that's wrong, like Bible always applies to you. But I changed my question this time around and I said, who are you, God? And I've been looking for these names of God, you know, God, the creator, God who provides, God who sees, you know, he sees you. God who is the banner, God who is salvation, the Prince of Peace. And when you're reading with that perspective, you get that revelation of who he is, and it just brings you like so much more joy than anything that he could ever do for you would. And maybe you are here today and you have been trying to quench that Zoe need in you, that you thought it was a physical need, but actually it's a spiritual need. And you've been trying to fulfill it with those bias means, and you have failed. And I was in that place 11 years ago when I was desperate and I tried everything. I tried to find joy. I tried to find fulfillment in life, and it just never delivered. And if you feel like that and you feel like this bread of life, God is drawing you near this morning, then I would like to invite you to pray a prayer with me. It's going to come up and you can read it, you can pray it. And if you don't want to pray it right now, that's fine as well, but you can read it at least and see what it means to you. And think about if any of those words apply to you. And then you can find me or somebody from the leadership and we can pray with you. Or even the person who brought you with you this morning. So I'm just going to pray it now. And then if you want to pray it, you can pray with me. If not, you don't have to. So I'm just going to read that prayer now. So dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. I want to receive you as the bread of life this morning. Amen. So if you prayed this prayer, then let us know and we might even be able to give you a Bible where you can learn more about who God is. And if you are a believer this morning, and this has spoken to you and you feel like you have possibly looked for that fulfillment that comes from only from God, you looked in the wrong places, then maybe you can repent of that and then you can pray with me the prayer that I wrote down. And you can read it and follow it. If you don't feel like it applies to you, don't pray it. It's quite personal to me, so it might not be exactly what you would pray, but I'm going to pray anyway, and whatever you feel resonates with you, you can pray it with me, okay? So that prayer is going to come up now. So, Father, I want to know you, but my cowardly heart fears to give up its toys. Root from my heart all the things that I have cherished for so long, so you may enter and dwell in there without a rival. Thank you that from the sunrise to sunset, great is your faithfulness. Thank you that you love me, that your love for me is like an ocean with depths still to explore, and you care for me as detailed as sand on the seashore. Today I take the front row seat and watch your creation on display. Let it remind me of how much you are with me. Let the evidence of your majesty silence the voice of my inadequacy. Let your presence be my dwelling place until I long for nothing else. Help me to stop searching for perishable things and the bread that this world offers, when in you I can have the bread of life, the only bread that satisfies. Help me to realize that in you I have everything. Amen. Amen.